Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Christian author and speaker, Troy Black. We're praying that, as you listen, God will reveal His love, grace, and truth to you in a deeper way. After listening, don't forget to connect with Troy on YouTube and Facebook. May this message from Troy inspire you in your walk with Christ.
This is Troy Black. I'm about to give you five ways that you can experience God's presence. Stick around. So I don't take naps very often, but a couple weekends ago, I was feeling extremely tired. It was the afternoon. It was the weekend. I didn't have anything to do. So I laid down on the couch and I actually fell asleep, which is not normal for me. And when I woke up, I looked at the other side of the couch, and at the end of the couch were two of my daughters, Mirabelle and Iona. And Mirabelle is 5, Iona is 4. And so I woke up and I immediately said to them, "How long have I been asleep?" Because I was feeling a little bit disoriented. And Iona looks at me and she just casually replies, "For a lot of days." And my first thought is, "What?" You know, and then immediately after that, I fully woke up and I realized she's 4 years old. She doesn't have a good concept of how much time was passing. And I had probably only been asleep for about an hour. And that thought of missing so many days being asleep on the couch, it made me think for a second about how I think a lot of us are spiritually asleep. And we're looking around right now and we're asking these questions, why has it seemed like my life has passed me by in a sense? Or why do I still feel so unfulfilled? Or why do I feel like I haven't received the promises that I felt like God should have given me by now? And maybe you're even asking the question, why do I feel so far away from God when I used to feel so close to Him? And the answer to those questions, what we need in that moment is a fresh experience with God's presence, in God's presence. Ephesians 2:46 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." If you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have been made alive in Him. You've gone from death to life spiritually. But even if we are alive in Him, that doesn't mean we are necessarily living as if we're seated in heavenly places with Him. That doesn't mean we're spending time in His throne room. And because of that, what happens is we end up living almost in this spiritual state of slumber, in this spiritual sleep, in a sense. But the truth of the matter is God wants us to experience a life with Him that is so intimate and so close with Him. It's almost like we're in the room with Him. And that's why He uses this language. Check out this other verse in Ephesians 5:14-18. It says, "For this reason," it says, "awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." So if we want to be living a life that is awake, that's fully awake for Christ, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be experiencing His presence in a day-to-day basis. And Paul uses this great illustration here of someone who's getting drunk on wine, you know, on alcohol. And the truth is, yeah, some people do that. Some people, I think the reason he uses it is because it's so applicable. There are people that go to the bottle every day to try to get that satisfaction, that fulfillment out of life, to try to feel alive, right? Or to try to deal with life circumstances. But the truth is, even if we don't fall in that one area, you know, every single one of us in some way or another are going to something every single day to try to find satisfaction. And what Paul is saying with this, the reason he's using this illustration is because he's saying we can find full satisfaction in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but we can find it every single day. It's not a one-time experience when you get saved. It's something we can keep going back to every single day. And when Paul says be filled in this verse, if you look at the original language here, it actually means, in a sense, to cram to a state of overflowing, like to feel so full. It means to satisfy, to be fully supplied. And then when it says the Spirit here, it's talking about God, but the literal words, the wordage that's used is the wind or the breath of God. And in my mind, when I think about that, I think about a husband and wife situation. I think about if you have a spouse that you're physically intimate with, then you get close enough to them to where they can literally breathe on you. Like if they have bad breath, you're going to catch on to it. You know, God actually wants us spiritually to be in that position, so intimate with Him that He's breathing on us spiritually. And that is the kind of intimacy that God wants with us. That's how close He wants to be with us. And even when we're not consciously acknowledging that, our spirits, if we know Christ, our spirits are longing to be in His presence, to be with Him, because we were created to be in fellowship with Him. And like I said, there's a lot of places we go to try to fill that void, but there's only one place we can go to really be whole, and that is in God's presence. So I want to give you 5 ways that you can experience God's presence in a real way. And the first way is pray. I think when a lot of us come to God in prayer, we're coming to God with, you know, we're laying our fears down at His feet. We're trying to cast our cares upon Him. We're trying to let Him know what we need. And these are all great things. But the question I want to ask you today is this, and just, I want you to honestly consider this. Do I come to God and ask for Him to show up in my life? Do I come to Him and ask for His presence? Do I come to Him and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I want to read a passage that shows an example of Paul praying for his brothers and sisters in Christ, and it is in Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father," it's showing that he's praying, "from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, and that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." Two of the phrases I want to pull out of this is, he says that he's praying that they would be filled up to all the fullness of God, and also that they would be strengthened through the power of the Holy Spirit in their inner man. So there was one time where I was sitting in the studio audience of the filming of a Christian TV show. And if I told you what the show name was, you would probably know what it was. But the reason I was there is because the church I was going to at the time, the pastor was going to be a guest on the show. And so I was basically going to support him. But as I was driving there, I went all by myself and I just felt the Lord leading me to start praying for the service. And so I'm praying on the way there. I get there and before, you know, people are hanging out and talking, and I'm just praying and I keep praying, "Holy Spirit, do something," you know, because I feel God wanted me to pray, but I don't know what I'm supposed to be praying for. So I'm just saying, "Holy Spirit, show up." And we get in there, we have a really cool worship service beforehand. And so the service starts and there's an interviewer and an interviewee. So one person is interviewing the guest, you know, on the show, and there's a couple different pastors that day that came to be guest speakers. And so it gets to the second person who's being interviewed, and he's talking about his ministry what God has been doing in that city that he's in. And I'm just sitting there and I'm listening, but at the same time in my mind and in my heart, I'm just silently praying to God and I'm saying, "Holy Spirit, show up. I know you want to do something today." And I'm sitting there and I'm praying, and then all of a sudden I feel this, and the best way I can describe it is it's like a blanket. You know, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit as being our comforter, and it literally in that moment felt like a real physical comforter that you would have on a bed. But in a sense, it was like this wave of peace and joy and freedom and life and acceptance. And I'm sitting there and it's like, suddenly I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit so strong, stronger than I had ever felt in my entire life. And I'm just thinking like, whoa, this is crazy, right? But the way I knew it was God, there were two ways. The first way was I recognized His presence from, you know, my own personal prayer time and being in worship services before. The second way was literally 5 seconds after, and I'm not even exaggerating that, 5 seconds after I feel the Holy Spirit show up. The guy who's on stage interviewing the pastor, he stops mid-sentence and he looks out at the audience and he says, "The Holy Spirit is here." And he stands up and he ignores whatever they were talking about, forgets about it. He stands up and he starts to dynamically deliver a message out of the blue to everyone in the audience. And in that moment, and you know, this guy is like excitedly preaching, and you can tell God is speaking to him in his heart right now, and he's giving him this message, this word. And in that moment, I got excited, but at the same time, I kind of got sad. And I'm excited because this guy is delivering this message from God, but at the same time, I'm sad because he keeps using these phrases like, this is the way it used to be. You know, or back in the olden days, this used to happen all the time. You know, this is how it used to be. And the reason I tell that story is because if you're watching this right now and you're thinking to yourself, I used to be so close to the Lord, or I used to have such a strong walk with Jesus, or I used to have such a good relationship with him, but I've gotten so very far away, you know? Like back in the olden days, it used to be so good, but I'm so far away from that. This is my encouragement to you today. Pray. Start praying. Pray constantly, the word says. Pray all the time. Start asking God, show up. God, I need you in my life. I need to experience your presence in a real way. I need to be filled with your Holy Spirit every day. So the second way you can experience God's presence in a real way is to be sanctified. And if you don't know what to be sanctified means, sanctification is the process of God setting us apart for him and for his good work. So when we get saved, God purifies us through Jesus Christ. But through Jesus Christ, God also wants to change us, and he wants to complete that good work that he began. And if you look at the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, the priest used to have to sanctify themselves in a lot of different ways. They would have to cleanse themselves of all these impurities before they could even enter the presence of God. But now under the New Covenant, we get to come at it from the other direction. And it's so amazing that we get to be purified. We get to be justified through faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that, we can come right into his presence. We can come right into the throne room. But when we come in, then God begins to work on our hearts, and he begins to transform us from that point on. So my encouragement to you today is, don't hinder the sanctification process. Because when you hinder that process, you're hindering the growth of your relationship with him. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you of something, if you know God is trying to work on an area of your life, when we reject the work that he's doing, that sanctification work, what actually happens is we are rejecting the benefit of his presence and his intimacy to a certain extent. If you don't believe me, I'm going to show you where this is in Scripture. It's in 1 Thessalonians 4:7-8. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. My goal is not to put any shame or condemnation on you at all, because that is not what Christ wants for you. But if you're sitting there and you're realizing, this is an area I need to work on, I need to start allowing God to begin to sanctify me, to begin to change me, then my encouragement to you is, go read Colossians chapter 3. It's an awesome chapter that shows in a practical way a lot of the areas where God will begin to chip things away from us that we don't need, and also a lot of the good things he wants to begin to give us that we do need. And so if you know you need this, go read Colossians chapter 3.
This is Troy Black. I pray the Lord is speaking to you through this podcast. We'll get back to the message in a second, but I want to take a minute to tell you about how you can support this ministry. I'm able to create videos, books, podcasts, and other materials because of faithful supporters who value my content and who want to help me share the gospel with as many people as possible. All I ask is that you would pray about becoming a part of the work we're doing. Learn more by going to troyblackvideos.com. I hope you're blessed as you continue listening.
The third way that you can begin to experience God's presence for real is to worship. So worship, when it is done in the right heart, is always an act of faith. And the reason it is because when we worship, we are praising God for two reasons. Number one, simply for who he is, and number two, for what he's done for us through Christ Jesus. And the reason I say that is because every other blessing and benefit that we have is stems from that relationship we have with Jesus Christ. It comes from what God did for us on the cross. And the reason I say that worship is always an act of faith is because we can know God through His Word and through a personal relationship with Him, and we can know what Jesus did for us. We can know these things, but we cannot fully experience Him yet. As Paul says, we're looking through a dark piece of glass, right? We're seeing a dim image of God's glory. One day we're going to see Him for who He really is. We're going to see and experience His glory in a way we could never imagine here on earth. So I just mentioned Colossians chapter 3, and I really hope you go and read the full chapter, but I'm actually going to pull a few verses out of there. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 and 16. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We're not going to see God's glory fully this side of heaven, but when we worship Him in faith because of who He is and because of what Jesus has done for us, it is like we are walking boldly into that throne room where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and we get to experience His presence in a real way. So you might be thinking right now, well, why don't I experience God's presence when I worship? You know, I hear other people talking about how great God's presence was, but I'm not sure if I'm actually experiencing it. I want to give you two keys to real worship right now. The first is worship and experiencing God's presence is not just an emotional high. That's why we can worship God just as easily without music and without a band on stage and without, you know, the beautiful singing. We can worship God without those things just as easily, and we can experience His presence just as much without those things. And the second fact about worship is that worship must be personal. It can't just be congregational. And what I mean by that is it's good to worship, you know, with other believers, but it must be a personal thing. It can't be simply tradition or just a doctrine that you're trying to follow. It's got to become something that is overflowing out of your heart, a thankfulness to God because of how grateful you are to Him. Colossians 2, 16 through 17 and 20 through 22 says, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? God does not desire our worship to Him to be a tradition. He wants it to be personal from us to Him. One of the easiest ways to miss God's presence when you're worshiping Him is to be worshiping simply because everyone else is doing it. Think about any friendship you have. If you had a good friend come over to your house and you sit down and you pick up a book that says things that you say to be a good friend, and you just literally start reading lines out of this book to that person, you know, like, how are you today? I hope you had a good morning. You know, you're reading these lines out of this book because you're trying to be a good friend to them. They're going to get up and they're going to walk out. Why? Because you're not being real with them. You're treating the relationship like a formula. And God does not want our relationship with Him to be formulaic. He doesn't want our worship toward Him to be a formula. He wants it to be coming from our hearts. He wants it to be real. Some of the most powerful times I've ever experienced in God's presence were moments where I dropped my churchy act completely and I just laid myself before God and was completely honest and open with Him and said, God, I'm having a hard time trusting You with this issue right now that I'm going through, or I'm having a hard moment right now, or whatever it might be, or maybe I don't look, you know, perfect in front of You right now, but I need You and I still believe that You're good and I still believe Your promises are true, and I'm choosing to worship You despite how I feel right now. And this truth runs right into the next point. The fourth way that you can experience God's presence is to believe. If you want to experience God's presence on a regular basis, here's my biggest encouragement to you. It's to remind yourself of the gospel every single day and allow the Holy Spirit to start reminding you of what Jesus has done for you and begin to speak the truths of God's word to yourself and to your heart. Ephesians 3, 11 through 12 says, "This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him." If you are saved, you have confident access to God's throne room at all times through Christ Jesus. But the reason that sometimes some of us are not accessing his throne room the way that we could be is simply because we're having a hard time believing verses like this, that they're actually true. So what is the test if somebody is actually really seeking God's presence and not just a spiritual experience of some kind? The test is your seeking of God's presence pointing you back to Jesus Christ? Because when you really are experiencing the Holy Spirit is always going to point you back to Jesus Christ and to what he has done for you. Probably the best way to apply this point practically is to just start reading the Bible every day and to read the words of Jesus in the Gospels. And while you're reading his words, ask yourself, do I really believe these words? And look at what he's saying. Ask the Holy Spirit to explain it to you and then ask, do I believe this? And if not, why? And then say, God, help me to believe this fully. The fifth way that you can experience God's presence is to wait. So if you have a friendship with someone and you text them, and then 3 seconds later, they don't respond, and you just throw your phone across the room, right? Or maybe you're sitting in the passenger seat of a car, and you roll the window down, and they haven't texted you. It's been 3 seconds, you throw that phone out the window. Why would we do that? That would be crazy, right? But here's the thing, I feel like some of us do that in our relationship with God. We pray for something, or we start worshiping him, but as soon as we don't get a response exactly when we want, we give up. But here's how the fourth point of believing and the fifth point of waiting go hand in hand. It's that the reason we're not giving God our patience is probably because we don't believe he's actually going to respond if we'll simply wait. Psalms 5:3 says, "In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch." Psalms 27:14, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord." Psalms 41, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry." So if you need this to get a little bit more practical, I'm going to give you another verse from the New Testament where Jesus is actually talking about the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 through 17 says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you." So I want to look at the meaning behind a few of these words. When it says he abides, talking about the Holy Spirit abiding with you, abides literally means to remain or to wait. And then if you look at the word with, it means to be in the presence of. And so what's so cool about this is that when we are waiting on the Lord, when we're waiting on God, the Holy Spirit is literally waiting with us. He's waiting with us in our presence. So Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit abiding with us, but also living in us. So if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But even though some of us, we experience the fruit of the Spirit during a worship service, maybe on Sunday morning, where we experience the peace and the joy of God while we're worshiping him, not all of us are experiencing his presence the rest of the time. And one of the reasons could be that we're simply not waiting on him outside of church. You know, we're not taking the time to say, "Hey, I want to hang out with you. This is not the designated hangout time. I want to hang out with you all the time." It's kind of like a couple who is sitting in a room together, but they're both on their smartphones, right? They're both on these screens, you know, or they're doing something where they're not interacting with each other. That couple is going to be there together, but if they never set those other things aside and prioritize each other, they're not going to be growing in relationship. When you and I are in relationship with God, the Holy Spirit is the one that is always sitting there looking at us in the eyes and waiting for us to get done with what we're doing because he wants to spend time with us. I have learned that one of the best ways that I can grow closer to my wife, I have an amazing wife named Leslie, and one of the best ways I can get to know her better and grow closer to her is to simply be available, to simply lay my other agenda and things that I'm doing aside and to say, hey, do you want to spend time together? And God wants us to do that same thing with Him. I want to end by making the idea of waiting on God really practical for you. There is a principle in God's word throughout the whole Bible of first fruits. And it's simply saying, I'm giving God my very best, you know, the very first that I have. And that principle of first fruits applies to our time. But the truth that a lot of us don't recognize very often is that the principle of first fruits has a whole lot more to do with what's first in our hearts than it does with what's first on the calendar. See, because God knows on Sunday morning, that's the easiest time to worship Him, you know, because everyone else is doing it. A lot of us have a habit of doing it. But here's my encouragement to you right now. If you want to grow in a closer relationship with God and you want to experience His presence in a way that you've never experienced it before, I encourage you to find the very hardest time that you could give God and give Him that time. For me, it's that period of time in the day where I've just got the kids in bed, you know, and it's nighttime and I've been working hard all day and then I've been corralling the kids and hanging out with them and then getting them ready for bed, you know, getting them fed. I've gotten them in bed and I finally feel like I have a moment to myself. You know, this is my time is how it feels. I've earned this time, right? Of relaxation or free time. But here's what I've found is that time that I feel like is mine, my very own. If I give that to God, when I go to Him right then and I say, God, I want to pray. I want to worship You. I want to wait on You right now. Those are the moments when I have had the greatest experiences with Him in His presence. And it's because that is my first fruits. That is the time of my day that I feel like is most valuable to me. And I'm not trying to look at this from a legalistic perspective at all. I'm not trying to say you have to give Him this time of your day. You know, all I'm saying is that if you want to experience His presence in a way that you've never experienced it before, figure out whatever your most valuable time is and give that to Him. And you're going to see God show up in a way that you would not have expected. When you and I choose to prioritize His presence, the life that we were trying to find in a variety of different ways and in different places, we end up finding in Him.
You can connect with Troy Black on YouTube or Facebook. For more content from Troy Black, or to find out how you can support this ministry, visit troyblackvideos.com.